having the revelation of the Lord Jesus, being ever so thankful, because this is something you do not merit. It is something that's given altogether by the merits of the Lord Jesus. Salvation, we must remember that the reason we praise the Lord Jesus, it is because salvation is not given by merits. Salvation is given by grace. And seems like we so often get all fuddled up in our minds about that and all mixed up. You know, salvation is given by grace. And I know a lot of times we say, well, I know that, Brother Pike. Salvation is given by grace. I know that God has given me salvation by grace. But I've really prayed and I've really fasted and I've really sought the Lord and I've really lived a good overcoming life. And you know, and I thank God for this salvation by grace. You know, you're all fuddled up in your mind. You don't understand. You've never done that in your whole life. You've never lived a good overcoming life. And you've never been worth. A songwriter wrote a song one time. He said, not fit to kill. You've never done anything in your life that was good. Never in your life. You know, I say this so often. Never since the foundation of the world has anyone ever done anything good in their life. You know, it's like Adam. Adam was made a good man, illuminated with the glory of God, and Adam was made a good man, and Eve was made a pure, virtuous woman. And what did they do? They squandered everything. They just, as we say, Adam just kind of sold everybody down the drain for his desire for the woman. And the woman, she just kind of sold everybody down the drain for her desire for that tree of knowledge. And yet God made them perfect, without spot, without wrinkle or blemish. And can you imagine how much worse off you are that was born in sin? And the Bible said that the very spirit of foolishness was in your heart from a child, and it took a belt, a strop, a switch, a correction from your childhood to even keep you in line enough for your dad and mother to raise you. And even though you probably were reared up, some of you under great parents. But can you imagine why the Lord said that he looked down from heaven and he saw there was none good, no, not one. All had gone astray and every man had turned to his own way. And God had to lay upon Jesus the chastisement as for the iniquity of us all. By his stripes we're healed. And can you imagine that he said there, he couldn't find anybody good. After he went through all the things he did, the Bible said that he saw the heart of mankind and it was continually evil. And then he came witnessing, saying that the heart is desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? Do thy diligence to keep it, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. And he said to the Pharisees and scribes, after that they had went through their ritualistics and formality as to their hypocrisy, sitting in the seat of Moses, and Jesus said, scribes, Pharisees, said you're hypocrites. Whited sepulchres or sepulchres, full of dead men's bones that don't appear, all polished up, real religious life, and yet people fall into the unawares. And said, the blood all the way from righteous Abel will come down upon you. And then he turned and he reproved them and he said, God looketh on the heart. God's eyes are throughout the earth going to and fro, looking for the upright in heart. And there it is, the Bible said, in men's hearts continually evil and desperately wicked. But he's looking for the upright in heart. Now, someone would say, well, now, Brother Pike, how can you find anybody upright in heart if everybody's heart is continually evil? Well, it's easy to answer. When Christ comes into your heart, you're upright in heart. And Jesus said to the people, see, God said, I want to show myself strong in their behalf, to bless them, to give them eternal life, to fight their enemies, just to make them ride upon the high places of the earth. My blessing to make them rich and give no sorrow. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery, fornication, theft, lying, blasphemy, and all these things he enumerated. He said, and this defileth a man. This defileth a man. To eat with unwashing hands, that does not defile a man. And that he drinketh, that does not defile a man. I know a lot of times when you say that, you say, well, then that means there isn't anything wrong with whiskey and beer and that kind of thing. Absolutely not. Mix it up with the slop and feed it to the pigs. Let's give the Lord a hand. Jesus spoke to the swines and the dogs, and they wallow in their mire, and they lap their vomit. Nothing wrong with it. The Bible said, give strong drink to them that are ready to perish. But it is a true fact that what goes in is to a liquid, he told them in the Old Testament over there. You know, liquors mean, goes back to the word liquid. He said, drink all the liquor you want, make it out of your vineyard, whatever, and they did. And you read it in the Bible, that's not foreign. And anybody would know that beer is made as slop for pigs. Anybody, after they ever tasted it. Someone said, well, how do you know? Well, I never have tasted it. I just smelt it, and that was best I could do. Same way with liquor and whiskey. But the thing is, God has made you so wonderful. You are sons of God. You are daughters of God. Ye are gods. You are great. You are mighty. You are eternal. You are rich. You are exceedingly rich, youthful, happy eternally. And you have the wealth of all eternity. You outshine the brightness of the noonday. You'll rule with a rod of iron and break the nations as one would pottery. See, I know you don't see all that. I understand that. And that's why I say I wish we had time to preach to you when we come up here. But I just have to exhort you a little bit. The Bible said exhort each other the more as the day approaching. And as we see it. But it is a true fact. To really preach to you, I say this so often, you think that I'm just using terms of speech. But it would take many hours. I say again, 80 days for Moses on the top of the mountain, not even having time to eat or drink. And Paul, after learning all that he had learned, studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Blameless, touching the law, Pharisee of Pharisees, of the strictest, belonging perhaps to the Sanhedrin as far as we know, which was about the highest thing of that day. And still, had spent about 3.5 years or 3 years out in the wilderness in solitude to be able to understand. Well, I'm just saying that you are great people. You don't know how great you are. And that is why you die, is because you don't know. And even though a lot of times I say you don't understand, and that's resented, but that is why you die, is because you don't understand. So there's also a mystery of sleeping, where people don't have to sleep. But it's a mystery. And the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and caught up into glory. And his plan, which I did not know till I came into the revelation of the Lord Jesus, but his plan is so fantastically wonderful until there has never been written in the colleges or in the schools or ever understood. Never has it entered into the heart of man at any time, this great, wonderful master plan of God. Never. And it is so fantastically wonderful, so much more wonderful than I ever dreamed it could be. Having studied for years and prayed and fasted and sought God, and still, when God came and unveiled it, it was so fantastically wonderful that all of my efforts and study and knowledge and what I've heard and what I'd been tutored never even got near it. But the Bible said, even though he has hid this thing from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, he hath made it revelation unto babes, such as are willing to learn. And when I say babes, the reference here is to, are you equal to Einstein? Are you equal to the great scientific people of the world? Do you know as they know? Do you think as they think? No, you're babes to them. You're but babes. But in spite of all of that, he hath revealed it to us by his Spirit. And it's so wonderful. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind at any time, not at any time, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And though we've been wretched, and though we've been blind, and though we've been miserable, and though we've been altogether unprofitable, still through the grace and love, the overwhelming, overflowing love of God, he hath hid himself within the breast of the Son of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And through suffering, he hath brought to light immortality. And the veil being rent in twain, it's present with us today. So, having given us this in Christ Jesus through his love, in that he is love, even before the world ever was, Paul said the thing that he purposed in his heart is his great plan, his great program. All of it was from beginning to end. That's the Alpha and Omega. All of it was given to us in Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world before he ever came forth in a human body. And having all of these wonderful things, then God brought the mind of Christ, which is the Spirit of Christ, which is the great Holy Ghost, that wonderful Holy Spirit that was in the bosom of Christ. See, he's brought it to you and placed it in your bosom. The songwriter says, does unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus and he will give you rest. So see, he enters into the heart to search out the heart of man. And the Bible said, the Spirit of God that knoweth the mind of man searcheth out even the deep things of God. And if he comes into your heart and shares with you his Spirit, then his Spirit knoweth the things of God. And from that time on, according to the measure of that Spirit that you've allowed to live in there, the measure of the things of God will come to you. And as your measure increases, the measure of the riches of God will come to you. But the things of God knoweth no man. You can study all of your life. You can fast, you can pray, you can do whatever you want to. But if you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. And the things of God knoweth no man, so they're not going to come to a man. But just as quick as you get the Spirit of God, the things of God will come to the Spirit of God. And the same way, the spirit of man, the things of man will come to man. So then we know that we have the Spirit of God. And then we do the things that please God so that our faith will be sharpened like whetting the axe when we lay it to the grinding stone. And as I've said so many times, going by the way of the grinding stone when I'd have to cut wood as a little boy for the fireplace, if I didn't whet my axe, then it took more strength. But the sharper the axe was, the easier my task was. See, and when you do the things that please God, then do you confident your heart toward God. And this gives you confidence that God hears you. And when you have the confidence that God hears you, then after that, then you know that you have the petition that you desire of him. Why? Because you do the things that please him. And you know that you have them because they're already yours. They were given to you in Christ before you was ever born. And when you came forth and were still in your sins, you were already saved by his foreknowledge. For you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God, justified, sanctified, and glorified in Christ before the world ever was. And then when the spirit of mind of Christ comes into you, it comes into you for one purpose, and that is to reveal to you who you are. That's what it did in the body of Jesus. That's what the revelation of the Lord Jesus is the revealing of who you are by his great mind. And when the Spirit of God came into the body of Jesus as to be interwoven with that body, as to that body springing forth from that seed of perfection, then as Jesus grew, he grew in favor with man and God. And as he grew from a little child, it was revealed to him by measure, proportionally, that he was Almighty God. It wasn't as to the Christ on the inside who was God, but it was as to the body, which was a man and a human being, that was to be your example. And though he was a son, yet learned ye obedience by the things that he suffered unto death at Calvary. Therefore, becoming perfect, he became the author and the finisher of our faith, our salvation. He came, he took the law. And I say this is just a foreword here. He took the law. He said, and the law shall not pass away till every jot and tittle of it be fulfilled. And he accused the Pharisees and scribes of transgressing the law, which is sin. Jesus thus took the law. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle of it. He said, Heavenly Father, it is finished. He folded it up. He laid it away. And the law to us is no more. No more. There is no more law to you. They that have fallen from grace are under the law. But you're not fallen from grace. Ye are no more under the law. If you was under the law, then you would be subject to the curse. Because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do all of the things that are written therein. And that if you attempt to keep one tiny bit of the law, then it is necessary for you to keep the whole law. For if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So then he fulfilled the law as Christ. And then that Christ, as to the fulfillment of the law, came into your heart by new birth. And in so doing, that means that you're free from the law. And being free from the law, you're free from transgression, which is sin. And being free from transgression, you are free from sin. Born of God, you cannot sin. The Spirit of Christ, the fulfillment of the law that done away with sin, remains in your heart, even the seed of God. And you cannot sin because you're born of God. And you keep yourself as to the inward man, and the evil one toucheth you not, because darkness and light hath no fellowship, and light causes darkness to dissipate. So as to the kingdom of God within you, and the kingdom of that great wonderful light on the inside of you, then that spirit hath departed from the body, and the body is dead, but Calvary and buried, and now your spirit, angelic being, is in heaven, dwelling with the heavenly Father. Can never sin, can never transgress, and because you cannot sin, in that the sting of sin is death, and that means you cannot die. So we pass from death unto life. And my, we could go on as to the sleep and as to the redemption of the body. And I just wish we had time to talk about that, because those things are so close at hand. But it's all summed up into this, chapter 61. Let's read here from the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisoners to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourself. For your shame ye shall have doubled, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore their land shall be possessed, the double everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment, I hate robbery. For burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offsprings among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. You know, I'm always reluctant to get started when I come up here, and I just try to talk a little bit to more or less collect your minds and see if I can get you together, because as I say, children of God, with all reverence, respect, and all truth, I never have time to minister as a rule a real, genuine sermon up here. And it would take many hours, as a matter of fact, it would take many days, take many weeks to really minister to you, to get over just a little bit of what you need to know. Someone would marvel at that, and they would say, well, my God, Brother Pike, how in the world are we ever going to learn it? Well, a thought, this might be a consoling thought to you. It takes many years to get over education to children, so they start them in kindergarten, and they get out of college when they're grown up, sometimes 18 and 20 years old. So it takes a little while to be able to get the thought over. And if it takes that long to get the thought of the old tree of knowledge over, and you are pressed, and even your children are pressed to the extent that they give their lives every day, surely to the great God of heaven, you don't expect to get the revelation of all eternity in 30 or 40 minutes. So we just say enough to you to give you a little consolation. But we spend our lives with God. We spend all day with God. We spend all night with God. We spend every day, every week, every month, every year with God, all the time with God. For the Bible said this is what is required of us as real, true children of God, that ye should meditate in his laws day and night, and that ye should cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. So you can see, with all your the Gentiles seeking after the things of the world, you're so busy thinking natural thoughts, doing natural things, having businesses, relatives, friends, visiting, talking, eating, drinking, buying, selling, going, vacationing, traveling, 100,000 things. You can see why that you don't have the revelation. See, you are filled up with all of the things of the world. Filled up with all the things of the world. As a matter of fact, the thought come to me what a great man said one time. He made a statement. He said, you know, he said, it is a shame that you would go out. God creates a hunger for his word, for his way of life, and you go out like the prodigal, and you, as we would say, fill your belly with the husk. You go out and you satisfy that appetite with all kind of natural things until you don't have any strength for God. You don't have any appetite for God. You don't have any enthusiasm for Christ. Not at all. Okay, now, it says in chapter 61, and we're just going to comment just a little bit, because so many things were there in my heart. My heart literally overflows like a well to say just a few things to you that I know would burn in your heart like fire. The Bible said when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he went on the way to Emmaus. He talked with them. He expounded things to them. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures, by the way? And when the Holy Spirit opens the scriptures, our heart burns like fire. Well, Brother Pike, I hear the word of the Lord, but it doesn't do that to me. That's because you're not elect. Say, well, it just doesn't affect me that way. That's because you're not elect. You hear it intellectually. So does the whole world. They have to hear the gospel before the end can come. But that doesn't mean anything. But these words are spirit, and they're life, and they're great mysteries that, as to a concealing, this mysterious thing is on the inside. And when you, by faith, hear the word, That's all it is to you if you are a bond child. If you are just listening, you become guilty before God because you cannot perform this word. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can perform it. And unless you can hear this and then call on the name and be born again through the prayers of the saints, unless you can do that, then that means you don't have eternal life. You don't have His Spirit. See, because this goes down into the heart, into your angelic being, your inner man or your spirit. And when it does, it turns into power. It turns into life. It turns into the wonderful unveiled mystery of Almighty God, which means the revealing of life as He called you out of the world to virtue, from virtue to virtue. And He calls you as a result of that virtue into His glory as He releases this life of His glory within your being. The life of Christ made manifest in your mortal being as you surrender a little at a time, or a little of that light at a time, so it won't destroy you. And then as this comes forth on the inside from glory to glory. So in saying this right here, I'm just going to say a few little things as to explain what he means here. And then after that, if we have a few minutes to get into Revelation, whatever, we will. He said, first of all, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All right, so the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He's anointed me to preach the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus stood up over there in Nazareth where we was a few days ago preaching. He stood up there in the church and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. So then He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Then I will say, do we have any meek folks here today? The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. Do we have any meek folks? If so, then He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto you. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Do we have any brokenhearted? The world is filled with broken hearts. Do we have any broken hearts? The loss of loved ones, the loss of health, the loss of vision, the loss of their blessings in life, the thoughts of going to hell. Do we have any broken hearts? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we have the power to keep the heart from being troubled, from being afraid. Then he said, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Do we have any in captivity? The whole world is in captivity. The whole world is in captivity until the gospel is proclaimed. When the gospel of the liberty of Christ is proclaimed, then you find freedom from the prisons of life. You find prisons as to the doors open and people free from strife and envy and trouble and heartaches and death and poverty. All of these kind of things as to the fears that destroy. All of a sudden, the door is open. And where is the door open? At Calvary, when the veil was rent in twain to let the soul go free. And at Calvary, to the opening of the doors of the prisons, coming to release them that was under the law. That's why he came. And everyone that's not under grace is under the law. That is said to be born again. Or as the Jews took them from the law. So the door was open, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and then brought to light at Calvary through the rent veil. The true light now shineth, even down through the church ages as to the seven-dimensional unfolding of this wonderful mind of God and the wonderful grace of God, even to the extent that Paul, being the overseer and being Christ, is in the earth, standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And there was the fullness. So, to open the doors, to preach to you liberty, that you're not under the law anymore, to preach to you that you're not under the bondage of death anymore, that you're not under the curse anymore, you're not under poverty anymore, that we are ambassadors for God. You go out and set the captive free, and you go out and tell them, for you are the body of the Lord Jesus. You're His bone, you're His flesh. You are not under the law. You're not subject to death. And it said, liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus came to go into the heart of the earth, whether it's in this heart of the earth or down in this heart of the earth, to the souls in prison, them that need Christ, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That was Calvary. At a day accepted, God looked down and he heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he loosed them that was appointed unto death, and they passed from death unto life. So, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, you're now living in that day that the Lord has made, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. That was the vengeance of the Lord. God poured it out, and that ended it forever. And then he goes on to say, upon unto them that mourn in Zion. If you are mourning and calling on the Lord, that's what you do for your soul's sake. And that's what you do in that you can't find life and peace and comfort a lot of times. But said to appoint to them in Zion, give unto them beauty for ashes. That is, we are cursed with a curse. We are burnt in the mind of God to ashes. And the Bible speaks of the ashes of the wicked being tread under our feet. And in the Old Testament, they'd get in sackcloth and ashes to show that they were repenting before God as to the consummation. When Jesus came, just dropping in just a little bit of revelation as to a prophetical thing. When Jesus came, the heavens turned dark, as black as sackcloth of hair. And it indicated, as it was in the Old Testament, when they put on the sackcloth, which you could not see through. When they put it on and when they knelt down in ashes, that the wrath of God had consumed the unbecoming image. And so as with Jesus, sackcloth of hair, as the darkness of the intellectual mind of corruption and the veil of death, the spirit of Satan, the derivative from the tree of knowledge as to the error of their ways. And there the wrath of God came down upon it. And then the veil was rent in twain and the clouds went away. And then there came that bright day star dawning within your heart. As Joshua crossed over the Jordan, it wasn't night anymore. It was always day as to the whole time that he fought the battle to win the battle. And when you get over the old carnal mind of your flesh, of the desires of your passions, of the thing that you so desire as to project self and to gullibly let Satan gullibly eat you up, and you gullibly go after the things of the world in that he savors the things of the flesh. When you get over all of that, then you're over the Jordan. And you can't do that. It takes Christ to do that. It takes the Joshua of God in your heart to conquer your flesh. But he that overcometh the flesh is to the continual warfare between the inner and the outer man. He shall eat of this hidden manna that comes from heaven, which is the revelation of the Son of God. Anyway, he goes on to say that he's going to give us the garment of praise, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Put on your beautiful garments, O Zion, or put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't come into my presence as to this day of grace, the blood on the seat of atonement, to this supper of charity. Without this garment, you'll get so confused, be bound hand and feet with your intellectual knowledge and your thrust for fame and popularity, your social benefits as to turning the church into a social thing. He said, and you'll be bound in the pits of darkness. But he said, give them the spirit of praise. Take away that old devil spirit of heaviness, that old doubt, that fear, and bring them that faith, that confidence from the Spirit of Christ, so they can praise God for what he's done for them. Then they'll be called the trees of righteousness, the planting that the Lord has glorified. They'll wait, build the old waste places, and raise up many generations. This is where we're at, and this is what we're doing. See, in talking with you just a few minutes this morning, if you got time to listen, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. The Spirit of God is upon you, because the Bible says, as he is,
so are we in him. And he stood up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, if I am as he is, and if I'm complete in him, then that means that I don't have any shortcomings anymore. And because of that, as he is, so am I in him. And if the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, then the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Whereas the Bible said, and God hath poured out of his Spirit. The prophet said, and it shall come to pass, that in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And in that day I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. You know, when you think about handmaidens, a lot of times people don't understand such things as that. And then when we take time to teach, folks, and being a teacher and a preacher, don't give you much time to preach when you take time to kind of break things down a little bit as to teach. But handmaidens, there's a lot of handmaidens in the land. And he said, your sons and daughters. See, this Spirit can come upon you, and you not have the Spirit of God, and you can just prophesy. It can come upon you and you can just preach. And the Bible said those that are out there, that are in the world and in corruption, they will be transformed by their minds to minister to you the words of life. And the ministers of Satan, the Bible said, being transformed, minister as ministers of light. Or light means understanding. They can come up here and minister this word to you because of the anointing being upon them. As Saul that went up to Ramah Gilead, and as Saul that went up to a place to kill David, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, even though God had departed from him. But it came upon him. And he prophesied so much till they thought he was among the prophets. Balaam, the Spirit of the Lord being upon him, and the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And God rebuked him, even through the dumb ass rebuked him, and forbade the madness of the prophet, and later had him killed, called him a soothsayer. See, the mighty Spirit of God lifting from him. And so the Spirit of God today is upon all people because the blood is on the seat of atonement. And as long as it's on the mercy seat, you can't tell who's right and you can't tell who's wrong. They all go to church or they do their thing. Even if they don't go to church, they're still religious. And in the societies of today, whatever it might be as to these things that they have, they're still religious and they got religious rites. So you can't tell anymore. So you can't tell the world from the church. They're all intermingling, especially with the charismatic order. And the Pope has already put his approval on it, calling them his children. So it means that they won't live right. They don't do right. Jesus said, Pharisees and scribes said, you hypocrites, said you stand between me and my people. You stand at the door and you won't go in and you won't do what's right. And you hinder everybody else by perverting their minds and turning them away from me. You love the salutations in the marketplaces with your long robes. You love to be saluted of men, that is. And you love to be called of men rabbi. And you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. You love to have those places of preeminence. You love those kind of things. But to live for God, you will not. To subject your body to God, you will not. To testify of religion, you will. To say that you belong to God, you will. But Jesus said to those that love the Lord, he said, don't do the way that they do. He said, because they say and do not. But he said, observe the sayings because they said in the seed of Moses, just like Balaam. Prophesied, whoever he blessed was blessed, whoever he cursed was cursed. But inwardly, he didn't love the Lord. He wanted money. Finally hearkened unto Balak, and it cost him his life. Though he had a gift, like some of these that sit by the wayside, they've got gifts. $10 and I'll tell you such and such. Man wrote me a letter, I got it a few days back. Said, being in a circus, some kind of fair, carnival, whatever it was, I stopped to talk to a woman. She said, $5. I'll tell you your future. He said, I stopped to talk with her. Said she charged me a little more. And she told me thus and thus and thus as to the number of years And he said, the number of years has passed. Said it happened exactly the way she told me. Even to marrying, as I would marry a girl, all of a sudden would meet her, be a stranger, never know her, marry. Going into service, said, you'll be in service, you'll be amazed, you'll come out in a very short while. He said, I did. And on he told the things, that everything she told me was just right. Said, and then I was run into a great thing as to an affliction or whatever, or something that would be devastating. He said, it came upon me. And he said, I'm in that condition right now. And so it was that she told him, like ABC 1, 2, 3, right down the line, that led him right into his affliction, but she never offered him a way to get out. And he was there. Like Saul, that's the witch of Endor, and like the different ones in the Old Testament, the Bible speaks of, that God would have them killed because they could stand between the people and the spiritual world. And God had them killed because they had given their gift to Satan. See, you have a gift, folks. Every person has a gift. Whatever the gift might be, as to the skills or whatever, as the Lord said, Daniel, I've come to give you skill. You've got a gift, and the Bible said that you should give yourself to God, that your gift as to the membership of the body of Christ should profit to all. But if you're not going to do that, then you're not one of the elect, and God foresaw that. See, and you're going to give yourself to the devil. Somebody says, now, Brother Pike, that's just speaking to your thoughts the way you think a lot of times. I would never do that. If I had a gift, I would give it to God. You know you're lying. You have a gift as to your body. He gave you that body. Did you get it of your own self, or did he give it to you? If it was given, isn't that a gift? He gave you your eyes. He gave you your ears. He gave you everything about you God gave you, even the breath of life. But what have you done with it? Have you given it to God? Oh, no. You've given it to the lust of the flesh. You've given it to the mind of Lucifer. You've given it to the old tree of knowledge. You've given it to your way of life. You say, I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. But is it your own life? Indeed it is. You know, if you don't give your life to God. But the elect, their life belongs to God. Jesus said, you save your life in this world, you lose it. That's all you get. You belong to the devil. You belong to the world. His will you'll do. And you are a child of bondage. You are in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world. And these things have captivated your attention. They have control of you as to your human senses, which is the only means of life that you have. And when they're dead, then it's over. Or when the spirit departs, they are dead. For the body's dead without the spirit. So then, if you belong to God, you lose your life as to whatever measure you will lose it to give it to God. Then you gain your life as to that measure of eternal life and wealth, then power. And the songwriter said, I surrender, Lord, I surrender all to thee, Lord. I surrender all. So to make this life as to this heavenly treasure which God has given you through Christ Jesus as a new birth, even in foreknowledge before the world ever was, this heavenly treasure that's on the inside of your earthen vessel, to make it manifest as the life of Christ in your mortal genes, is to preserve your body and change it into a glorification that is so beautiful and so wonderful. I say this a lot of times because things of simplicity, people understand it real easy. As a matter of fact, this was a statement that we made when Pat Boone marveled and said, I never knew there was so much gospel, Brother Pike, in a fable. But in this, see, when you speak of Cinderella or the little things that you read, everything was bright, everything was glittering. It was a big ball. The world is having a ball. Everything is just going on in such a great way. It's such a grand finale, or we say down at the finishing line. And there she was, and all of a sudden, everything went wrong. The beautiful gown was no more. The chariot turned into a pumpkin, and the horses into mice, as the little fable. And the Lord always getting to the children to try to bring out what he's doing. See, the midnight cry is just about here, folks. And the ball is almost over. And everything's ready to turn and change. into the freakish things as to which they are, because all is vanity, 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 and vexation of the great Holy Spirit and our spirit. So it's just about ready to change. But you know, even though Cinderella, as the little story said, was caught out there among this, yet there was something going on. We're all just alike. All of us are just alike. All of us are in this world. All of us are human beings. All of us are naturally born of Adam, to the old beast body. All of us with our gullible desires is the natural. But by the grace of God, we're all out here in the ball. All of us out here. The buying, the selling, the malls. All of the dancing and the frolicking and the passions. All of the thrills, the majesties and the glory of this world. All of us are caught in it. See, that's Satan's glory. He savors the things that be of this world and the things that be of the flesh. But Jesus nailed the old beast to Calvary. He freed you and I from it. Today it's not us living as the natural. It's gone. And our spirit is in heaven with God, equal to the angels, cannot die. It left this body at death. To reckon yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, resurrected and alive by the body of the Lord Jesus, or that is to say, buried with him in baptism and raised with him in the resurrection. We find ourselves, as to the spirit, having left this body, it went back with Christ, and now we are they that dwell in heaven, for he hath hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of restitution. The restoring of all things. As a matter of fact, we brought that out the other night, a little bit about being gods, and I wish we could have commented on that, but we didn't hardly get started because we were late. But there's one thing about it. When the ball was over, and Cinderella was just like all the rest, as to the natural body, folks, we're just like everybody else. You can't tell one from the other. But when Prince Charming came looking for Cinderella, and when he came looking for the girl with the dishpan hands, she wasn't the frolic kind. She had not been frolicking in the world. She had been laboring. The Bible said there's reward in all labor, but the talk of the lip only tends to penury. She was the hid away one, according to the little story, and we brought that out about something that happened to a little girl like that in America. It really happened. But anyway, there she was. She was the head away. And when Prince Charming came, he had one thing, and that was the little glass slipper. I know some of you probably have heard the sermon of the little glass slipper that we preached, or read the book of the little glass slipper, and how that we came about this little glass slipper, and how that I asked my wife one night riding down the road after a service. I had this little glass slipper, and riding down the road, I pulled it out and I said, "Betty, you reckon this will fit your feet?" She said, "No," but said, "It'll fit my soul," because she knew the revelation of it. And she clave to the little glass slipper, and as far as I know, she still got the little glass slipper. See, and they took a picture of it, they put it on a book, and it's been around the world in some different languages already. The ball is over, folks. Everything's turning to pumpkins out there and mice. And you hear them every once in a while, they'll say, "This ain't nothing but a rat race." Like a man told me one time, he was a retired judge. He said, "We're all just in a rat race." I said, "Oh no, not me." So, out there, it's all over. But we've got Prince Charming on the inside. And the foot, it has a soul. Jesus washed the feet. Speaking of the preparation of the gospel, washing the feet, Peter said, "Not me, Lord." He said, "If I don't, you're not clean." He said, "Lord, not only my feet, but my head, my hands." That is baptizing. Well, that is the washing of the soul by the washing of the water of regeneration. Here we see the Word kneeling down and the water as to the washing of the soul by regeneration. See, and here the soul, Christ is on the inside. And it fits our soul. The preparation of the gospel fits our soul. The foundation of life, it fits our soul. And because of this, then from within, the life of Christ as to that great Prince of life that has come to seek and to search for us, having life, being the Prince of Life, and having life to give to us, life and that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. My cup runs over. And God is changing from glory to glory, from virtue to virtue. This body. See, and that means that this body is the beautiful garment that He's giving to Zion, even the body of the Lord Jesus. The beautiful garment, as we say, that Cinderella wore in the tie. So then we know that Christ is with us, and we know that we're His bride. And so then He has made all preparations for the wedding supper, and everything's just right. Like the song we wrote, the wedding supper. See, so He hath given us all things that pertain unto life. Everything that heart could wish for. We are the apple of His eye. We are that His heart desires. Like a man with his bride, she's everything that he desires. And like as true a true woman that has true love. You know, in the day we're living in, they marry one time, two times, three times. It's a sinful, adulterous generation, and they fall into lust overnight, and when the new wears off, and you know, and they fall into lust again, and they fall into lust with somebody on TV, and it's just a conglomeration of a mess. But a woman that truly loves her companion, she loves him. She looks beyond him, and she sees something on the inside that she is welded to, interwoven with, that they're one. That's his life manifested in her mortal genes. And see, that's the way it is with Christ. We are bound together in love. Love has caused my spirit to become one with my heavenly Father. Oh, that is, Jesus said, Father, we're one, make these one. All of us membership as to one spirit into one body as to those members. Baptized in by that Spirit. The great Holy Spirit is to whatever measure you might be. But we are members of the body in particular. So then, that is her desire. She doesn't care about anybody else. Sad to say, there's hardly anybody in the world like that anymore. As a matter of fact, I don't know of anybody in the world like that anymore. All flesh is corrupted its way. And as it was in the days of Noah, so is it at the coming of the Son of Man, which means all flesh had corrupted its way before God. But now the Prince Charming of God is appearing. That wonderful day star within your heart, that quickening spirit on the inside, that revelation of the Son of God is breaking forth now. But it isn't going to break forth in everybody's life because the human body is the bride part. And there is no life to them that is not the bride. Nothing's going to bring life. It has to be Christ in you to redeem that body and make that body surrender and conform to that spirit that it might preserve it eternally. And the mere fact that you do not conform to it as to a surrender proves positively that you don't have the power on the inside, because that power automatically would overcome your body and make your body one with His flesh as to the bride of Christ. You know, it brings to mind, as we talk, it brings to mind something Brother Snyder was telling me yesterday. I believe it was yesterday, maybe. Said his little boy had had a dream, and in the dream he had seen us like a welder with a helmet on, and across here was wrote George Pike, which is my name. Said, and then it faded away, and it come up power. And when it come back power, said he looked, and there were little babies all around was trying to get to me, trying to crawl. I believe he maybe mentioned cripples, but whatever. They were trying to get to me. He said, and even little Chinese babies, Japanese babies, whatever kind he made mention of, from everywhere. See, and that's the way it is. Jesus said, feed my lambs. If it's Christ living, and indeed when the outer man is taken away, it is the inner man. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, which means Christ in you. Because Christ has conquered the devil and all things, so He is the power over all of Satan's powers to the demon spirits, and He is the power within you that is the power over death. He's the power over fear. He's the power over Lucifer, period. He is the power within you. And Satan, that is the god of this world, then he's not as great as the God within you. But you that don't have Christ, then you are a bride. You do belong to somebody. And Jesus said, ye are
of your father the devil. Said the proof of that is that you do his will, and you'll always do his will, because it's the love of the world in you, and he is the prince of this world, and you desire those things that be of the flesh. And so he said, you are of your father the devil. And of course, you'll always be a thorn in the flesh as to the ministry, and as to God's kingdom, and as to God's people. Always gossiping, backbiting, finding fault, saying things, doing things contrary, not following leadership, won't surrender, won't submit. Always, 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 until you come down to die. And then you'll get scared half to death when death begins to set in on you, and you'll want to humble yourself. Do anything you can, because no man hath power over the spirit to retain it at death. Your spirit is going to leave that body. Well, we just now, believe it or not, we just now got to where I was supposed to preach from. And the sermon starts from there. So you can see, just talking a little bit, it took up the whole service in quite a long while. So, what can we say? Let's everybody stand together. I hope, by taking my time and talking with you, as a father would his children, and that I've begotten many of you in the gospel. Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors, you have but one father, I've begotten you. As a father in the gospel. And the Bible speaks of the fathers that are in the gospel. And it speaks of mothers that are in the gospel. There are what the Bible refers to as mothers in Israel. And there are mothers in the gospel. And the church is a mother, a beloved mother. I wish we could say something about that this morning, but we can't. But in that we have said the few little things we have, I trust that it has enlightened your heart, said something good to you. I say again, this light in the evening time, it shall come to pass that there shall be light. The whole world is in gross darkness as to your intellectual reasoning from the old tree of knowledge, the educational system of the world, which is going strong, and even by law, forcing you into it, because sin gets its strength by the law. Of course, you're not under the law. You're not children of bondage. But in that, we're in the end of the world, and this is the end of the world. Then that means that there is a radical change that's taking place that involves human beings. And you're now at the point of your fleshly change. Not your spiritual change. Your fleshly. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, your body is going to be quickened and changed to his image. And if he isn't, then you're the bride of somebody. That spirit on the inside of you is going to all of a sudden change your image into the freaks and the devils and the demons of which you are, because there's something that's dwelling on the inside of you. And if it's not the nature of Christ Jesus to change you into his glorious image, then whatever the nature is, it will change you into that image, because that's what forms an image, is a nature. That's why one person's children look one way and as to a resemblance of them, and another looks another way as to a resemblance of them. It is because, though they're all human beings, like animals, variety as to appearance, though they're all human beings, yet there's different natures in them. All fruits on the tree, but different natures make an apple and a... It makes a plum, it makes a pear, a lemon, whatever it might be, an orange. We are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, even God Almighty. We are partakers of his divinity, of his nature. So then everyone that hath this hope within him, as to the purifying of his heart, purifies himself even as he is pure, and at the coming of the Lord Jesus, we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, into his wonderful, glorious image, with this hope of that glory, even Christ within you, that Christ alone be an heir to that glory. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. We'd like to say many things to you, but you've been patient as to listen to what we had to say. And as we go along, as do many other sermons, I think they got a few thousand of them on tape. And then there's many, many hundreds and multiplied hundreds. Thousands of things that's been said, multiplied thousands of things that has been said. No record of them. No tapes to listen to them. No way to get to it.
Except that it be revealed to you. But as to the fragmental things that we've said to you from time to time, I trust that these things will find a lodging in your heart as to some measure of Christ. And those that are willing to go on to a greater measure, then the Lord will allow that. But never be vainly puffed up, as I told the brethren last night, by your fleshly mind as to think you know something when you don't know something as you ought to know. And don't boast yourself of your own ability. Don't do that, because it's nothing. It's all going to turn into ashes. You're just going to pass away. That's going to be it. Let's sing this little song. I'll remember you as I make up my jewels. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Sing it again. Oh, we're ready for the bride. The altars are open if you'd like to come. Ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white. Ready for the bridegroom. Sing it again with me. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom. Bridegroom to come. Just be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. If you love the Lord, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice, and I will rejoice, I'll be glad. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, be glad in it. For this is the day, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Isn't it wonderful? This is the day. All right, let's sing another course or two. Let's search our hearts. The Bible said, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. And the Bible said, in the latter days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat which God hath made to be received with thanksgiving of them that know and believe the truth. So we're living in peerless times, folks. The Bible said peerless times shall come, and men shall be lovers of self more than lovers of God, and they'll be heady and they'll be high-minded. And there'll be a sinful, adulterous generation. And many shall depart from the word of God as to the faith. For faith is by the hearing of the word. But he that God sendeth will speak God's word.
This morning is a great time. It has to do with the resurrection. And even though it's just another passing day and just another gathering at church to hear the word of the Lord, yet you that are not walking in the Spirit, that cannot see this wonderful light, this great light that shines in darkness when the darkness cannot comprehend it. Children of light that comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, they see it. Others cannot. But in the spirit world, and there is a spirit world,
just like there's a natural world, there's a spirit world. And some of you belong to the spirit world. You're dead to the flesh.
But the body of the Lord Jesus, as of the first man Adam, born in him, and all die because of the flesh. But in the second man Adam, Christ Jesus, the quickening spirit, all is made alive in Christ Jesus. So, you that are born of the Holy Spirit, you are in the spirit world. You're dead as to your body, and your angelic being went to the spirit world where the angels dwell. That's why you can communicate with angels. That's why you can look into the spirit world. Just to fast and pray a little bit, to meditate a little bit, to withdraw from the world a little bit, you'll find that heavenly treasure of that Christ Spirit that you see every day of your life as you behold the face of the Father. You see it through the eyes of your understanding. You not only will see it through the eyes of your understanding, but it will be made manifest as to that life of Christ in your mortal genes, as to those visions that Daniel saw. And many of you do at night. You have night visions. Daniel said, I dreamed and the vision of my head troubled me. And sometimes you have night visions. And as Solomon, the night visions he had, Joseph. But you can have those visions just standing on your feet or falling into a trance, as Balaam did. Or to be manifest, to perceive people's heart. The Bible said, and Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. I've had it to happen to me many, many, many times. But you have a gift, and you don't want to sell it, as the soothsayers of today. That gift is something that God has given you as a gift. And because you're a human being, it belongs to you, and you can give it to any spirit that you want to give it to. But I want to give my whole life to God. Paul spoke of gifts being given by the laying on of hands. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of discernment, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, all these wonderful gifts. While we've got our hands up, we're going to sing this little song, I Will Praise Him. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I will give. I'm going to ask Brother Pasden to come up, if you will, and dismiss us. People, oh, His blood that's washed the weary stain. Once again now. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners.